Yesterday we reflected on being sent out, like the apostles were sent out two by two. We know that that sending dynamic has remained in the church ever since. We are all sent out. And we know that's very important because the need is so great. We know people are in darkness or in ignorance or in need. And something in us is moved to respond to that. You might even wonder, why is it that so few people know the gospel? Why is it that so few people know Jesus? Is it hardness of heart? Is it some evil force? What's going on? So you might even have a judgment against people. Why are people so stupid? Why can't they see the beauty of the gospel? But when we read the gospel itself, we can have a more sympathy with people who don't accept it, because there's lots of things in the gospel that are really challenging, really difficult. In some ways, you could say it makes more sense, except for the gift of faith, it makes more sense for people to reject the gospel or reject the Bible, because there's a lot of things in it that are so challenging. Today's gospel is another good example of it. Jesus is not cuddly teddy bear here. He's not cute. He's really challenging. He says he has come to bring a sword. He's come to divide families. He's come to really create an upheaval in the existing order of families and in society and in our own hearts. I mean, he really is provoking a revolution. So we can understand that revolution has to take place in order for God to reign, in order for the kingdom of God to be established. Yes, every other kingdom has to be overturned. So, I mean, believers understand this, but it's still shocking to hear him say he's come to set a man against his own father, a daughter against her own mother. It's like, what is this? What is he doing here to divide people who should be united? So the message of Jesus, the message of the gospel, will be opposed. Jesus says this in many places, but we can understand that even if he didn't tell us that, we can tell, of course it'll be opposed because it's sharp and demanding. Jesus is in the very firmly in the tradition of the prophets. Of course, he's more than a prophet, but he is following in the tradition of proclaiming the word of God, of making known the will of God to people who are not necessarily interested, and in fact might very often violently oppose it. We see here in today's first reading, near the beginning of the prophet Isaiah. On Saturday we read the call of Isaiah, which is actually later, I think it's on chapter 6. So we go back to chapter 1 here, and we ponder the word of the Lord that came to Isaiah, and it's a very negative proclamation. Isaiah has to tell the people that God is tired of them, that God is tired of their sacrifices. He doesn't want to hear any more of their prayers. He doesn't want to receive any more of their sacrifices. That God is telling them to just go away and stop this nonsense. Well, you can imagine religious people hearing that and saying, who are you to tell us to stop sacrificing to the Lord? Who are you to tell us that we're praying too much? You can imagine a strong resistance to the message of Isaiah, and even violence. Why does the Lord say through the prophet that he's tired of their religiosity? Because their hearts are duplicitous. They're hypocrites. They're putting on all this religious show, but they're really not honoring the Lord. And that's why he says, I don't want to hear any of this. I don't want inauthentic religion. I don't want a bunch of a lot of hypocrisy dumped on me. either be true or get out. That's kind of what he's saying. Now, he's not telling anybody to get out. He wants us all. He's a loving God, and he loves his people. But he can't love evil. He can't love hypocrisy. And so he says, put away the misdeeds. Put away the misdeeds. Cease doing evil. Learn to do good. Turn your heart away from all your greed and self-righteousness and judgments and abuse of the poor. And turn away from all of that stuff. And then I will welcome your offerings. So a very challenging prophetic message. But Jesus, it does even more, of course. Jesus not only challenges people about their religious life and about their love for one another, but he also makes an absolute demand to be at the center. This is what he says here. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Son or daughter, whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It's a very strong thing to say. You have to love me more than you love your own parents, more than you love your own children. No wonder he was opposed. He's inserting himself right into the most precious relationships we have. And saying, if you want to be my disciple, you have to put me higher even than your highest values. You have to love me more than you love even your most beloved, your closest loved ones. Now, it's right that he says this. I'm not opposing it, because he is God, and he must be the first. In fact, if he's not first, our love for our family members gets distorted. We make idols out of them, or we place demands on them that are unrealistic, or we think that they should be serving us more than, you know, all kinds of disorders come into place when God is not first, when God is not the top priority. And we see this happening. So Jesus is right, but the way he says it and the impact that it has on us is really demanding. And that's why he says, whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Well, after reading those three declarations about who's not worthy, we all say, well, we're not worthy. We're not worthy. We're not doing this very well. He's not saying it to us in order to reject us or discourage us. He wants to alert us to the cost, the demands of being a disciple, which is the cost of love. If we want to love, if we want to live according to the standard of love, this is how it works. It isn't comfortable all the time. It's not nice. It's not cute. It's not what we would prefer in our nature. So we have to dig deeper and say, well, yeah, even though it's costly, we can see this is really the way to go. This is the best way. We can't make ourselves worthy of God. God already loves us. And he loves us so much that he puts a much greater demand on himself than he puts on us. He says, whoever does not take up his cross and follow me. Well, Jesus is the one who takes up the cross. He actually relieves us of most of the burden that we carry because of our sin and our weakness and our ignorance. So the greatest love is already offered, is already given. And that goes back to what I said at the beginning, but when Jesus sends us out, we want to go out. We want people to know the greatness of the gospel. People are much better off hearing these things and being challenged by them than not hearing them and living in selfishness and narrowness and hypocrisy and stupidity. We're much better off getting a sharp word of truth and letting it pierce us than not hearing. So it's, yes, it's love. And that love is already given. But we do have a responsibility to respond, because love is a two-way thing. God already loves us more than we can possibly imagine. But do we love? Do we respond with love? And Jesus and Isaiah remind us that our love is expressed. Even giving a cup of cold water to some little one, even a small act of service, is part of the expression of our love for God and neighbor. He doesn't say in this gospel, go out and convert, you know, a million Chinese or something. He says, give a cup of cold water to one of the little ones. But he also says, take up your cross and follow me. So that bigness and littleness go together. The cost is absolute. The demand is absolute. God is first. His will has to be above our will. But it's also active in the little things. Taking some time for prayer, being patient with someone, doing something for the good of others, being concerned about others and not about myself, this sort of thing, our daily practice of the faith. So as we're sent out with a great message, but it's also costly and heavy. And that's good. So we trust in the Lord. We know that it's a message that not only is it not accepted by the world, but our own nature doesn't accept it. So we wrestle with it. And yet, it's the right wrestling match to enter into. It's the right task to attend to devote our energy to. Yes, it's hard to pray. Yes, it's hard to sacrifice. It's hard to carry the cross. It's hard to love. But do it anyway. Do it anyway, because that's the best way to live.